Well, good evening, Cross City. How are you? Good? Hello, those of you that are watching online. It's always an honor to be able to fill in for our senior pastor, David, who will be back next week. We are in a new series that we're calling Essential, where we're taking a look at what is truly essential in life, especially the Christian faith. If you had to summarize it all down, what would those things be? And it got me thinking a little bit about what is essential to live. And I did some research. I discovered that there is this thing called the rule of three. There are these three things that you got to have to live. They are oxygen, they are water, and they are food. And oxygen, you need to breathe every 3 minutes or you're not going to be alive. We know about water. You need to drink water every 3 days or you're not going to be alive. And even though your kids tell you they are dying of hunger, technically they can live for 3 weeks without food. So tell them just to be quiet, okay? Now, sleep is one of those things that we actually need to sleep. And some people think you need 8 hours, 7 hours, 9 hours. But technically, I did research, and it's on the internet, so it's true, there are 4 hours are necessary for you to live. So if you don't think you're getting enough sleep, then just get 4.5 hours. You should be fine. But all joking aside, I need 8 hours. Can I hear an amen to that, right? Yeah, I need me some sleep, right? Now, this whole though idea of essential has taken on a whole new life for those of us in the last 7 months. And that is because there have been these articles, for example, like this ABC 30 article. I love ABC 30, but it could be any one of them. They talk about these things that are essential and non-essential. Have you heard that phrase before? Essential workers, non-essential workers. I did some research. I found out that an essential business is that that has safety of human life and also the protection of our property at its core value. And an essential worker would be a person like in the food industry, the healthcare, emergency personnel, and we're thankful for our first responders, right, everybody? We're thankful for what they're doing, absolutely. But we also know that it gets a little bit bigger than that. You know, we need to make sure people get the food. And so if you're part of the food and the shipping and the banking, you want to be able to go to the bank when you want to go to the bank. And because we live in the wonderful, beautiful state of California, apparently essential here would be protesting. That's essential. Your dispensaries and also Planned Parenthood is apparently essential here in California. Now, also, what is not essential apparently would be in-person gatherings of schools. Now, that's why my wife, this last summer, when she did not have a summer break because she was working for funsies, they went ahead and they made essential t-shirts for Fresno Christian School, made them feel better about their situation. No one else thought that they were, but we definitely think our teachers are essential. Can I hear an amen to that, everyone, as well? And depending on who you ask, they would say what we're doing right now is not essential. It's probably even breaking the law. And so I want to borrow a phrase from John MacArthur. This is essentially a peaceful protest. Can I hear an amen to that as well? Right. We're just going to go ahead and just spiritually spread the Holy Spirit over the Central Valley, and we're going to do it without any apologies whatsoever. Now, with that being said, there are those things as followers of Jesus that we would say are essential. Jesus Christ is essential for our salvation. Amen. God's word is essential to guide our life. Amen. And what we're doing right now is essential. We are the church, and we are essential. Say essential. So if you're taking notes, that is your fill in the blank. Number one, we believe that the church is essential. And what do we mean by that? The church is not a building that you go to, but the church is a body that you belong to. It is a family that you belong to. And if you catch nothing else that I say tonight, which some of you won't, I want you to not miss this one big idea. I made it the title for the message. This is the big idea. The big idea is that you belong here. Because church is essential, because you belong to the body of Christ. This isn't a service that you attend. This is the body of Christ. It's not in a denomination that you identify. It is the bride of Christ. And we believe that what we're doing right now is absolutely essential. And when somebody says, I like Jesus, I just don't like the church. I don't know about you, but I find that offensive. Because I love my church. I love you. I love being with each other. But unfortunately, there are many in our culture today that no longer find going to church to be essential. Statistically, I heard a statistic 2 weeks ago at a conference that I attended with our pastors here on staff. It was a Barna Research, Pew Research poll that says that right now in America, 80% of churches are either plateaued or in decline. And that in the next 12 months, 1 in 5 churches will close their physical doors. Why is that? Well, the reason why that is because we are living in challenging times, because many people are wondering, is the church really essential? And if they wouldn't actually say it that way, with their actions, with their lifestyle, they are showing and proving that they've gotten out of the habit of worshiping together. The Hebrew writer puts it this way, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider how we can spur each other on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more until you see the day approaching. And so what we're talking about is that there are some people that have gotten out of the habit of gathering together, going to church. And so I'm going to give you a little bit of a foreshadowing of the next steps when you leave here this evening, is that I want you to make what we're doing now a priority. I want you to make it a habit that you have in your life. And I know a lot of times we talk about good habits and bad habits. There are some physical habits that are bad. Obviously, we talked about not getting enough sleep, eating poorly, not drinking enough water. There's also some relational bad habits, like spending time with the wrong people, impacting how you talk and live and behave. You've heard me say before that our relationships determine the quality and the direction of our life. And there are those physical habits that are not good for us, but then there are those other spiritual habits that are incredibly critical for us to continue to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. But there is almost this like, like an angel on one shoulder and like a little demon on the other one, and the demon's whispering in your ear, you don't need anybody else, you can do it on your own. And then you have the other voice of God that is speaking to you saying, it is not good for you to be alone. When you read the creation account in Genesis, that's exactly what God says in Genesis 2:18. It's not good for you to be alone. You have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ talking about what we're doing right now. And he's saying is when 2 or 3 of you are gathered in my name, I will be there with you. See, the word church in the Greek language is the word ekklesia. And it literally means the assembly of the people of God. And so right now, we're experiencing ecclesia. We're experiencing church. And my concern is that when people are no longer meeting together, they no longer see the church gathering as being essential, they're missing out on the experience of God. That's my fear, is that the fellowship and the lack of connection that people are having right now is causing some long-term hurt. Not only within the church, but within school and business and our life. I believe that there are many, some of you right now, those of you that are watching online right now, that you're experiencing isolation and loneliness. And when you're experiencing those, they are a fertile ground for alienation and temptation to creep in, depression, sickness, self-harm. And we are experiencing staggering numbers of suicide that nobody is reporting on in the media right now. Guys, I believe that this is all happening not only in the school, not only in work, but it's especially happening within the church, which is why, number one, I believe that the church is essential. Would you guys all say essential? Essential. Number two, if you're taking notes, write this down. The church is not only essential, but the church is eternal. The church is eternal. What do I mean by that? I mean that the church, it's not a temporary building, and as wonderful as this building is, it is temporary. But rather, the church is an eternal body that we belong to. The Apostle Paul writes a lot about the theology that we have of the church. And this is what he says in 1 Corinthians 12, that you are the body of Christ. He's talking about us. And each one of you is a part of it. That we see in the church, this ecclesia, it is the eternal body of Christ that we belong to. And I just want to tell you something. You belong here. This is your family. Scripture talks about the fact that not only have we been created by God to live forever, but he refers to us as his children, the children of God. He refers to God as our heavenly father and the church as our forever family. But I want you to lean in really, really close right now and listen to what I'm saying. We live in between two worlds and two realities. The earth that we live in and the heaven where we will spend eternity. And the world that we live in is broken. It has been marred and it has been scarred by sin. If you don't believe me, just look on Twitter and you will see it. Look on the news and you will see it. But our hope is not of this world. Our hope is in heaven. As much as you love your political affiliations, our hope is not in politics. Our hope is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So fellow Christian and believer, I need you to know something. If you are experiencing opposition right now, then you are in good company. Because in all of my time here on planet Earth, which is coming up on 50 years, I've never experienced the kind of opposition that we're experiencing right now as being Christians, especially as being pastors living in California. From an earthly perspective, it's hard. I'm seeing churches that are under attack. I'm seeing pastors that are being fined, sanctioned, sued, shamed, and harassed. And on a weekly basis, myself, Pastor David, other pastors are asked the question, how should we respond? Well, from an earthly perspective, I need you to know something, and I've heard David say it time and time again. It is a lose-lose proposition. Because whatever we do, someone's gonna hate it. We're either gonna do this wrong or we're gonna do that wrong on either side. There comes a time in there where you're literally wondering, like, how in the world are we gonna navigate this? But when you lift your eyes from the world and you lift your eyes to the heavens, you begin to see a different perspective. The Apostle Paul, someone who is familiar with persecution and the church, said it this way in Corinthians when he said, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen, what church is what, is eternal. There is an eternal reality that we are living in, even though we live in a temporary world. So let me go ahead and state this as clearly as I can. Our freedom and the requirement for us to worship our God is not a suggestion. It is a commandment from our God. And the church is essential, and it is not a privilege that would or should ever be granted to us by anybody else but our God. So you may be asking yourself, where's that come from? Well, it comes from Scripture. Well, can you show me? That's what I'm gonna do for the next couple of minutes. I need you to know something, that when you look at Scripture, you need to understand from our very origins, we have been in opposition to the systems of this world. The early church, the disciples, Acts chapter 4, and then the authorities called them in again and commanded them not to speak or to teach the name of Jesus. Does that sound familiar? Don't speak the name of Jesus. It's happening all over the place right now. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to listen to God? You be the judge. For us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. Church, I believe that what we're doing now is essential, and that the only hope that we have for heaven is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we don't speak it, who will? This is not a freedom that we're given from man. This is a mandate that we're given from God. Peter and the other apostles in Acts chapter 5, the next chapter, they say we must obey God rather than human beings. You see, there's always this tension of whose authority are we under? And yeah, we are to be under authority, but I want to remind you, the Apostle Paul says in Colossians that we work not unto man, but unto the Lord. And you say to yourself, what about Jesus? You know, what did he say about it? Actually, quite a bit. But before I give you an example, I want to remind you of a context. Jesus, when he was here in his time of ministry, was doing church. He was in a room, in a house, full of other believers. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. And they come to Jesus, and they say, hey, your mom's here, and your siblings are here, and they want to see you. And Jesus says to his crowd, to the ecclesia, he says, you are my family. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, is he not like his mama? Is he upset with his siblings? No, you're missing the point. The point is that there was an earthly family that Jesus had, and there's an eternal church family that he had. And we have the same here today. And there was always this tension that Jesus was living up until the cross between the eternal reality and the earthly reality. And when people tried to trap him, and they tried to do it all the time, he did his best to say, hey, we are under authority, but there's a greater authority. Like when people tried to trap Jesus into, who am I gonna pay taxes to? And Jesus responded in Matthew 22, verse 21, so give to Caesar what is Caesar, and give to God what is God's. So Cross City, listen closely to what I'm saying. We are living now between two kingdoms, the kingdom of this earth and the kingdom of heaven. And the earth and the world that we're living in is marred and it is scarred and it is broken. But the hope that we have is in heaven, and Christ is our Savior, and we are a forever family. And this is eternal, and this is essential. Can I hear an amen? I should probably move on. So I've been talking a lot about the Big C Church, but what we want to do now is we want to turn the corner and talk about the Small C Church, our church, Cross City Christian Church. It's a big church, but it's still a small church compared to the big church. And I want to go ahead and state the obvious, and that is that there's a lot of new faces a part of Cross City right now. Last weekend alone, we had close to 30 first-time guests here at Cross City. That's pretty exciting. And that's just people that filled out a connection card and met with one of our guests after the service out at the tent. And I just want you to know that it has been really challenging for these last 8 months because we've not been able to have our normal classes that we would have on a monthly basis, Discover Cross City, Serve Tour, and Membership. And so what we're going to do today, next week, and also the following week is we're going to do our very, very best to get you connected deeper or give you the opportunity to get connected deeper into the life of our church. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to do a Discover class. I know you didn't sign up for it, but we've locked the doors. You're stuck. Sorry about that. But at the heart of it, we just want you to know that you belong here, that you're welcome here, and what you're getting yourself potentially into. A part of that, though, is reminding ourselves that not only is it for the new people that are here, the ones that have not yet connected, but it's also a reminder for those of us that have been here for a shorter period of time, and those who have been here for a longer period of time. Up until the invention of the printing press and also the ability to write out on script, oral tradition, people would just tell the story of the church, tell the story of what God had done. And so that's what I'm gonna try to do right now about what God is doing and what he has done at Cross City. I don't know if you can believe this or not, but I have a graphic that's gonna pop up behind me. It's one of my favorite parts of what happens when you go to Discover is you see this really cool timeline. And you can see from my left to my right, you can see that Cross City is 62 years young. And it originally had the name of North Fresno Christian Church, but it was not in North Fresno now. It was in Central Fresno. And it was there for 40 years when there was a group of people that were forward-thinking and they thought to themselves, we want to move north because that's where people are going. And so they purchased 10 acres. In 1989, a great year, I graduated from high school that year, and they built the building where the kids' building is now, and they named the church Northside Christian Church in 1995. That is the same year, I believe, that our senior pastor came here, I believe. Yes, David, I believe. And it was around that time that they then acquired 5 more acres, and that's the 5 acres that we're sitting in right now, and they built this beautiful building in 2001, where they are, where you are sitting in, about 100 of you or so here, right? And where you're sitting in one of 1,584 seats in this room, right, Mike? That's the number you told me. Okay, good. And the church continued to grow. One of the challenges that we had, though, is that we had no way to get people on and off this campus. And so land opened up off of Willow and onto Willow, and it's a flag lot. And we now refer to that building as the Willow House, and it's given us egress to enter and to exit that's been there, and many of you use it on a weekly basis. Along the line, we've been able to purchase additional land just to the east of us where you now have extended parking and grass. And then something pretty significant happened in the life of our church. And that was in 2016, we opened up something called the Frap House. Now, by show of hands, how many of you have started coming to Cross City since when the Frap House opened up? Let me see your hands. Go ahead and lift them up. Yeah, there's a lot of you. There's a lot of you. David, you're lying. You've been here a long time. All right, so... And during that time, and I believe it's been one of those game changers in the life of our church, this church began to grow. Actually, between 2016 and 2017, Outreach Magazine considered Cross City one of the 100 fastest growing churches during that time frame. And the church has continued to grow. And it even changed its name from Northside to Cross City. A lot of people ask, why did they do that? Well, for a lot of reasons. There are about 2,000 churches in town with the name North in their first name, and not statistically, but seemed like it. And whenever someone would say, where's the church located? It'd be, oh, it's the church with all the crosses. And then one night, uniquely enough, our church was annexed from Clovis back into Fresno. We crossed cities one night. And we also became, at that point, a multi-site church, and we began to expand, and we became a regional hub. And Pastor David went to our elders and to our leaders and said, I think we need a new name. It needs to be Cross City Christian Church. And that's who we are now. And in that whole time frame, we continued to grow again. And in 2019, not very many people know this, and David didn't even know I was going to mention that this weekend, and I might not tomorrow, but we were actually listed by Outreach Magazine as one of the top 100 largest churches in America. And that's been pretty exciting to begin to see. People ask us all the time, well, how many people are coming to Cross City? Well, pre-COVID or after COVID or whatever it is, I do know that our online community has exploded. And last weekend alone, right around 2,000 people were watching online. And that's exciting right there. And on any given weekend altogether for the year, we're averaging close to 4,500 people a weekend. Now, with that being said, why do you say those numbers? Because every number has a name, and every name has a story, and every story matters to God. God loves numbers. He has a whole book in the Bible about numbers, okay? So we also believe that healthy things grow, and we want to be healthy, and we want to continue to grow to reach more people for Jesus Christ. So let me tell you how we want to do that. We want to do it, and we believe that we're going to continue to do it, and how we've been doing it three different ways. And Pastor David is going to be sharing some things in the weeks to come about where we're going. But let me share with you who we are. If you're taking notes, number one, we are a Christian church. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, we mean a lot of things by that. A couple weeks ago, Pastor David shared a message on the basis of our faith. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to that message, you should, because it talks about who we are as a church. But because time is limited, I wanted to go to the Bible. And I just wanted to remind you what the Bible says a Christian is. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, those who believed were baptized. They were added to the church. They joined with others. They committed themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. And they worshiped together regularly at the temple. And they met in small groups in their homes. And in this few verses, we see what the Christian church, the original Christian church did, and that they preached Jesus. And God wants us to believe in Jesus. And when we believe in Jesus, he wants us to be baptized. And when we're baptized, he wants us to join a church family. And he wants us to commit to being regular attenders in worship. And he wants us to then connect beyond the weekend into groups together, because that's what the early church did. They broke bread together. And that's why we take communion every week. And I need to tell you something. If we're ever doing something at Cross City and it does not fit into Acts 2 or the two scriptures that I'm going to point you to next, you have the green light to pull the yellow card and say, what's going on? We are a Christian church, but we're also, if you would write this down, we're a great commandment church. We are a great commandment church. People are trying to trip up Jesus and ask him a trick question, like, out of all the Old Testament, what's most important? And listen to what Jesus says. He says, love the Lord your God with your heart, your soul, with all your mind. First and the greatest commandment is this, but the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And it's from the great commandment that Cross City developed what our vision is. And it is to love God, to love others, and to serve the world. Have you guys ever heard that before? Love God, love others, and what? And serve the world. Now, how do we love God? Well, we love God by dedicating ourselves to Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, it talks about they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And how are you going to devote yourself to something that you don't find essential? And the teaching is not only from a preacher here, but it's from studying God's word and looking at everything that we have and sharing it with others through our time and our talents and our treasure, living lives of generosity. It's loving others as well. How do we love other people? It's seeing a need and meeting a need. It's doing life together in community. It's caring for each other, and it's intentionally sharing what we know to be true about Christ and what he's done in our life. And it's also serving others. Now, how do we serve others? Well, we serve others by fulfilling what happens next in Scripture, and that is the Great Commission. Would you guys write that down? Not only are we a Christian church, not only are we a Great Commandment church, but we are a Great Commission church. And then Jesus came to them, Scripture tells us in Matthew 28. And he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And I'm with you always to the very end of the age. It's from the Great Commission that Cross City has developed its mission statement, and that is to make more and better disciples of Jesus. I'm gonna say that one more time. To make more and better disciples of who, everyone? Jesus. That's what we are all about. Now, I get asked regularly, why is Cross City growing? Why are other churches, 80% of churches, plateaued or declining? One in five churches closing its doors. But why is Cross City continuing to grow? And I believe it is truly because of the fact that we are a biblical church. We're about Acts 2, the Great Commandment, and the Great Commission. And I'm not suggesting that other churches aren't biblical. I'm not. But I am saying if you could just take a core sample of how we are seeing people growing spiritually, it's because when we look at Acts, Matthew chapter 28, and it says, therefore, go and make disciples, it doesn't say go and make converts. It says go and make what, church? Disciples. And disciples that make disciples. So how do we do that at Cross City? Well, something that we call rooted. And it supports the Great Commandment. And what is rooted? Well, there are seven rhythms. So there's habits. Remember we talked about good habits and bad habits? And I want you to go through rooted, trust me. But it's not a class that you take. It's an experience that you have together with others. And you not only learn, but you do what I'm going to share with you right next. Number one, you work through your stuff. We live in a broken world, and we got junk that needs to be dealt with. And so we call that our strongholds, and we get freedom from that. And there are some of us that discover we need more help, and we then get connected in something called regeneration that happens on Monday nights. Not only do we deal with our stuff at Rooted, but we also give generously, sacrificially, through our time and our talents and our treasure. We realize that all that we have is God's, and we're just called to be his stewards, and we're called to be generous at all occasions. We really believe that's really the secret to why the vision of this church is funded, because of the generosity of your hearts. Guys, we don't pass a basket around here, but God has laid it in your hearts to be obedient in this area, and the mission goes forward. The third thing is sharing our story, and one of the primary ways that you share your story is by inviting your friends to join you at church. You all have a story to share. And a part of Root is we explain to you what that is and how you can share that with other people. The last few of these would be prayer. At Cross City, we believe there's power in prayer. We believe that as we've made every one of these big decisions these last 7 months, we've always, always, always prayed. Many of you are praying still every day at 2:17 for this church. We believe in the power of prayer. We also believe in serving. I've heard it said that we're never more like Jesus than when we're serving like Jesus. And when we begin to become intentional about serving other people, I think it just makes God smile. And then finally, God's word. We are a church that is all about the Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instructions before leaving earth. This is our guide for why we're even here this evening. And we're going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks. But at the end of the day, what is a better disciple? A better disciple is a person that, yes, has these habits, has these rhythms in their life, but it's a disciple that makes disciples. And that's what God is calling some of you saints to do, is to step it up. Guys, the harvest is huge. The workers are few. Some of you need to seriously consider taking one of these final next steps as I get ready to wrap up this message. So if you have your notes, if you would, I've already shared number one with you, but if you would, write it down. Next step, number one, that you would prioritize weekly worship. Hebrews talked about do not get out of the habit of worshiping together, meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing. And I wanna encourage you to put it on your calendar, make it a commitment. One of the things I love about our church, let me tell you what it is, it's Saturday night. And Saturday night's where it's at. There is not another church in town, I'm telling you, that has a crowd of people like this. And I'm saying if you can't make it though on Saturday night, and if you're not watching online Saturday night, then you can come on Sunday mornings at 9:15 and 11. Guys, church is essential. Church is eternal. You need to make it a priority. Number two, if you would, write this down. We need to move relationally into community. We need to move relationally into community. And I realize during the season that we're in with some of the restrictions, it makes it challenging. But this is what I know to be true. There are some of you, I was talking to Pastor Mike, who's one of our pastors, our life group pastor, rooted in couples pastor. And he's reading an article and it says that there is a loneliness pandemic that is in the church right now. There are some of you that are lonely. You are sitting in a row, you're sitting at home, and you feel like nobody knows your name because they probably don't. And so I want to challenge you to get from the row to a circle, from the large group to a small group. For some of you that are watching online at home, to come on campus, where a person's gonna know your name, that you'll no longer be anonymous. And I know there are some of you that have had bad experiences. We all have. I encourage you to give the church a second chance. So this is what we're gonna do. Next weekend, after this service and after every one of our services, we're gonna have a serving and a connecting fair. We're gonna be setting up booths outside in the lobby, out in the courtyard, where you're gonna be able to meet every one of our ministry leaders, and you're gonna be able to get connected not only in a serving opportunity, but also in an opportunity for you to connect. And that means kids, students, young adults, singles, married, men, women, recovery, seniors, everybody. And I just want you to know, we decided not to do it this weekend because we wanted you to think about it and pray about it for a week. But if you're believing that you belong here, that you want to get connected deeper into community in the church, I want to encourage you to come next week. You're going to get an opportunity, if you would, write down the next one, number three, to serve on a team or in a ministry. I need you to know right now that there is an immediate need that we have for people to serve in preschool, in junior high, and in high school. Because right now we got something that we've never had before. We have a captive audience in student ministry. They are not having to fight with after school sports. So literally all they got is us, and we're crushing it, but we need your help. So we would love for you to come and support that. Like I'm telling you, we really need your help in that way. You can help with the camera operators, greeters, safety team, online host. Guys, I know Jesus served and he wants us to serve as well. Hey, as I prepare to close and the band makes their way on out here, I'm gonna share the last one with you. And this is gonna be the biggest one for some of you. And before I give you the fill in the blank, I just wanna remind you that if it doesn't challenge you, the chances are that it's probably not going to change you. And here it is. I want some of you to commit to becoming a member of Cross City. It has pained us that we have not been able to create an environment for the last 8 months to provide a membership class for you. So here's what I want you to do. If you are not yet a member of our church, I want you to not pray about it. I just want you to sign up. And I want you to do it. You can do it online, on your app. You got the ad right there. You've got on your on the front of the bulletin, it'll show you how you can do it. And our team is putting together an incredible, special, memorable evening that we think has a chance to be the biggest membership class in the history of our church. But what I know is that God is calling us to go deeper so that we can reach more people. Because we believe with all of our heart, mind, and soul that church is essential, that church is eternal, and that we are the body of Christ, and that we are a family to belong to. And I want you to hear my heart. You belong here. So I don't know what your next step is that you need to take. Maybe for some of you, you realize in this whole conversation that you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That when I was reading Acts 2, they talked about they believed and they received and they were baptized, that you've never done that. I want to encourage you to make that decision tonight, watching online, to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. By the way, that's one of the distinctives of the Christian church, is that we give you a chance every week to make a spiritual decision. In just a moment, some of our spiritual leaders are going to come here to the front, and we'd love to pray with you. We realize some of you are feeling isolated. Some of you are feeling alone. Some of you are depressed. Some of you are discouraged. Some of you are disillusioned. And we believe in the power of prayer. Do you, church? And so we want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. We want to help you make it through this really, really difficult time. I also believe that there's some of you, whether watching online or you're here, that you've never been obedient through baptism. And we're ready tonight to do that. I know Nick is back there and he'd love to baptize you. We just believe it's one of those things like, why would you not want to do that? Well, I might get my hair wet. My mascara may run. Tough guys, you know what I mean? I mean, you're gonna have to figure that out, right? It's okay, we got shirts, we have shorts, we're ready to do it. But what I know is this. This is essential, this is eternal, this is who we are, and this is who we're gonna continue to be. Do you believe that, church? If you would stand to your feet at this time, the band is gonna lead us in a final song. Whatever decision you need to make at this time, if you would, come forward, make a decision. Follow Jesus. I guarantee everybody, as good as it's been, the best is yet to come. Do you believe that, church? Amen. Amen. Amen.